If you have your Bibles, open up to 2 Timothy. We're going to start in 2 Timothy. It's sort of where we left off last week, all right? And here's the point in your outline, the first point. Worship, fellowship, and hearing God's Word prepares you to minister. I want you to notice I didn't say worship, fellowship, and hearing God's Word prepares you to be a spectator. That's not what it does. It prepares you to go out and to minister. In 2 Timothy, all right, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we read it last week, and these are the last two verses. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. One of the first teachers I heard, anointed by the Holy Spirit, he asked this question, and it just, as a young Christian, it grabbed me. He said, "What's all this praise and worship and teaching for?" He said, "Why do we do this?" He said, "We come every week and we praise God and we worship and we get together and we fellowship." And he said, "What's it for?" And the point was, it was so we could be sent out into the world to bring God's kingdom and His Word. And his major point was that the church today is being lulled into coming into church and sitting down and then leaving and then not going out and doing what God tells us to do. So with that in mind and reading this, that we can be thoroughly equipped, turn to somebody and say, "You are equipped." You see, if you know Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead and He'll forgive your sins, you're equipped to go out and spread the news of the kingdom of God. So we're going to read now, we're going to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read 24 verses as Jesus sends out 70 to go out. In the previous chapter, He sent His 12 out. And in this chapter, He says almost the exact same thing to 70 to go out and to spread the gospel. It says, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of Him to every town and place where He was about to go." Don't miss that. Jesus was going to follow them. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No. You will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, and they said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy, through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and he said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Father, I pray that you will give us ears to hear, that you will give us eyes to see, and you'll give us a heart to understand today what you want to say to your church. And that, Lord, you will equip us and that you will send us out. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Your first point is Jesus appoints and equips. He appoints and he equips. His disciples have been listening to him, and now he says to them, you go out and do what I did. He says it to the 12 in the 9th chapter of Luke. In the 10th chapter of Luke, he says it to 72 more. He says, send them out. Now, I don't know if any of you are into numbers, but there's also something else going on here numbers-wise that he sends out 70. That was the number of elders in Exodus 24, verse 9, that Moses took up the mountain to see God. It says they saw God and they heard God, the 70 elders of Israel. And the Sanhedrin during this time is made up of 70 people. And what Jesus is, in a sense, saying to the world, you have to recognize, Jesus is saying, hey, there's a new sheriff in town, I'm it, and these are my deputies. You can tell I love Westerns. But he sent this number out, and he said, now go out there and go two by two. I believe today God wants to send his church out, but the church has been lulled by the enemy into sitting on our hands and saying, well, you know, the pastor knows. I hear it all the time. Well, I can't talk like you talk. And I always say, that's really a good thing. Because some people don't hear what I'm saying, but they might hear what you say and the way you say it and who you say it to. And he wants to send you out today, and he wants you to go, you see, because he's appointed. Now, your next point, the need is great. He says, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. He says, there's so many souls to deal with out there that Jesus said, we don't have enough laborers, and so I'm sending more of you out. Go and minister, he says to them. He says, heal the sick. He says, I've given you authority. He said, all authority has been given to you. Now I'm giving it to you, he says to his disciples. Go and do what I'm doing. And the need is great. There's more. He doesn't have enough hands. He doesn't have enough people to take care of all the things that are going on. And he gives them authority and he sends them out in power. Now I want to read to you what Charles Spurgeon says about that, because when I talk to you today, you're thinking, this is the way you're thinking right now. You're going, well, pastor's suggesting that I go out and share the gospel. And before you get out the back door, the devil's going to go, you're not a very good speaker. That's what he said to Moses. Remember, Moses said, I don't talk very well. And he's going to tell you things like, well, you just don't know enough. And he's going to say, what if they stump you? And he's going to say, but the people might reject you. He's going to say, you might get fired. You could get written up for sharing Jesus. What an honor. My old friend said, what an honor, Dave. They took me in to see the owner of the company. I said, why? Well, I shared scripture with people. He said, what an honor. You see, God is sending you. It's not a suggestion. And Spurgeon makes it clear when it says he sent them. That word sent them and giving authority. It says now the Greek is much more forcible. It is that he would push them forward and thrust them out. It is the same word which is used for the expulsion of a devil from a man possessed. It takes great power to drive a devil out. It will need equal power from God to drive a minister out to his work. Please hear that. Do you hear what he says? It says the same power that it takes to get a demon out of a man is the kind of power that Jesus pushed his disciples, in a sense, out of the nest and said, now fly, go do what I've taught you. Speak it, lay hands on the sick, he says. Speak peace. Speak peace to them. The need is great, church. Your next point, do not go alone. Did you notice he sent them two by two? Do we have any independent loners in here? Huh? I don't need any help. I can do this. When you're going out to minister, you want to be connected. You want to be connected to a church. You want to be connected to people that can raise you up, because I'm going to tell you in just a couple minutes, you're going to get beat up. You're going to be like a lamb that's been running from a wolf is how you're going to feel. You're going to feel the fangs of that wolf trying to tear into you and take you apart. You're going to feel the fear of the howl of the wolf. And you're never going to know when they're going to hit you. And so don't go alone. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Don't go alone. Be connected. Have a prayer partner. One of my favorite old shows was the Roy Rogers. And I love what Roy said to Pat, who couldn't hit a bull with a scoop shovel if you gave it to him with his gun, you know, Pat. But he would always say, cover me. I'm going in. What he meant was, Pat, start shooting. Maybe they'll duck and hope you don't hit them. But when it comes to going in, you know, we need to be covered. Say, cover me. I'm going to go witness. I'm going to go talk to this person. You pray. I see it all the time. Missionaries will have people praying for them when they go into witness. We'll pray before we go speak to somebody. Don't go alone. You know, this is a whole thing that we went through in the past few weeks here with worship and with fellowship and the Word of God, you see. With fellowship, you have people around you all the time that you can speak to, and they'll pick you up. Look at your next point. There is opposition. You see that? He says, I'm sending you out like lambs among the wolves. There's opposition out there. Not everybody wants to hear about Jesus. As a matter of fact, the world is telling us, don't you speak about him. And that's nothing new. I want you to know it's nothing new. Go through the Acts of the Apostles and highlight every place they say, don't ever speak the name of Jesus. You won't believe how much highlighter you use. Because they kept telling Peter and John and all the disciples, they said, stop speaking in the name of Jesus. And the more they said stop, the more they spoke. It's the name above all names. There's power in that name. And the enemy says to you, don't speak it. Stop it. You're going to offend somebody. You can talk about any false god you want, but don't you dare talk about Jesus, because he's the real God. And there's going to be opposition. There's going to be every idea and thought come up to you. They're going to ask you all kinds of questions. They will oppose you and try to stop you. And so I love Scripture, because it's not saying, now you go out and if you're willing to witness, oh, it's going to be a wonderful life and everybody's going to hug you, you know. They're going to make you cupcakes. It's going to be a wonderful time. Thank you so much for telling me about Jesus, and I repented of my sin. Are you kidding me? It's more like, how dare you tell me that what I'm doing is wrong? And see, you didn't tell them. Jesus did. If you take God's word, then you didn't tell them they're wrong. Jesus did, and he used you. And he said, if they reject you, then they reject me. And if they reject me, they reject my Father. You see, and I came to reveal him to you. Your next point, work where you are welcome. Aren't you glad he didn't say go break into a house and set up camp there and get your guns and get fortified and don't let anybody in and then tell them about Jesus? No. That's not what he says. He says, go into a house and speak peace to the house. And he literally says, if the person in that house accepts your greeting and accepts that peace that you bring, which is the kingdom of God, salvation through Jesus, repentance of sins. The word peace there, when you read it, and in the Greek definition, it means like being with your mom in her arms, being secure and filled with peace. And he says, if you go in there and you speak the peace and they accept it, then he said, stay there and keep witnessing and keep working. There's another thing he says that I just love. And you and I, we don't think anything of this. But Jesus says two times in the text, he says, eat what they feed you. You know what that meant to a Jewish man? Wait a minute. What if they're having a pulled pork sandwich this afternoon? And two times for this reason, Jesus says, go into their culture, you see. And he said, go mainly to the Jews, but they were going to run into food. They didn't know where it came from. They don't know how it was prepared, maybe. And he said to them twice, he said, eat what they give you. Go where you're welcome and work in there and bring the gospel. Tell them about my peace. Tell them that it's okay, that God is here. The kingdom of God has come. See, bring the gospel of peace in and work where you're welcome. That's what he tells them. Now, here's what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, if you go in and you're not welcome, give up, go home, pout for about 3 months and say, I'm just never going to go out and talk to anybody about Jesus again. And church, I hear more of that among the body of Christ than I want to hear. See, they rejected me. It's difficult to witness. But God tells us you'll be rejected. He says, go where you're welcome. And then he says, if they don't welcome you, just leave. But he doesn't say stop witnessing. He says, you won't get through all the towns before the kingdom of God is here. He meant, I'm going to go to the cross, die for the forgiveness of your sins, rise up from the dead. The kingdom's in full force. And he said, keep preaching. Amen. And the body of Christ today is saying, well, you know, we got to be careful. You know, got to watch out. Careful of what? Careful to let the lion out in the streets? I'm telling you, nobody's going to oppose him. Jesus says in the text, I won't let anybody harm you. That's what he says. And the scripture doesn't say if you're rejected, quit witnessing. It doesn't say, you know, be afraid. Those are Looney Tune cartoons. Be very, very afraid. Don't listen to that. We're listening to the wrong voice. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Look at your next point. Recognize the cost of rejecting God's kingdom. Recognize the cost of rejecting God's kingdom. He says, look at Tyre and Sidon, and this is what he says, to Capernaum and to the towns where Jesus had been ministering all around the Sea of Galilee, and he had performed all these miracles, and he fed 5,000, and he fed 4,000 with a little basket of bread and a couple fish, and where all these miracles had taken place, and where blind eyes see, and where lepers were cleansed, and where lame people leapt. He says to him, if the works that I've done in you would have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. Church, recognize the cost of rejecting God's kingdom. And when he says, shake the dust from your feet, he doesn't mean, here, you are all going to hell. That's not what he means. What he means is shake the dust from your feet and say, you missed the time of your visitation. See, the kingdom is here. And what he really means is weep because they've rejected Christ, and eternity is very grim and dark for them. And we shouldn't rejoice in that. We should weep over that. When we hand out walking sticks, some people will take it and they will leave and they'll read the scripture on it and they'll find out what it's about and they'll come back and they'll give you the walking stick back. Think about that. We've had it happen several times. And they're visibly saying, I reject Christ. I reject the gospel. I reject the kingdom of God. I don't want peace. And we don't go, oh, I can't believe that happened. Let's stop for an hour and take a break. Are you kidding? It puts fire in us. We go after the next soul. It's about the souls of men. Recognize the cost of rejecting God's kingdom. And then here's your next point. Don't allow opposition to stop you. Don't allow the opposition to stop you. If you're rejected, just look for your next opportunity, church. I remember years back, I saw a man in a Burger King one time, and he had oxygen on, and he had a tank with him, and he could barely walk. He could barely get up and move. And God kept saying to me, go pray for him, go pray for him, go pray for him. And I was like, do you ever argue with God? And I'm like, I don't know, Lord. You know, maybe he doesn't want to be prayed for, and I don't know what's wrong with him. And he doesn't know me. He's never seen me, Lord. And you just argue with him, and he kept saying, go pray, go pray, go pray. And I said, oh, man. And he said, are you going to obey me or not? And I got up, and I walked over there. And he had a litany of everything that was wrong with him, and he only had so long to live. And I said, I wonder if you would mind if I could pray for you. And he got so angry at me, and he said, I'm so offended that you came over here and asked me that. And I told him, I'm sorry, I didn't come to offend you. I came to pray for you because Jesus can heal you. And he said, I can't, oh, I'm so angry with you. And he just gave me all kinds of stuff. And as I was walking away, I said, I'm still going to pray for you. See, we're going to be rejected. Don't let it stop you. Listen to Charles Spurgeon's words. What a mercy it is when the preacher knows that his master is coming after him. Did you hear what it says? He said, go to these towns. He said to these 70 people up here in the first, every town and place where he was about to go. That's in verse 1 of chapter 10. He says, go to all these places because Jesus was going to follow him. And Spurgeon caught that and he said, the master's coming after him. When he can hear the sound of his master's feet behind him, what courage it gives him. He knows that though there is very little that he can do. Isn't that awesome? He is the thin edge of the wedge, preparing the way for one who can do everything. Now, I absolutely love that quote because it's the one place I've been called thin lately. It says he's the thin edge of the wedge. Will you be the thin edge of the wedge to pave the way for Jesus, to make the way straight, church? And see, here's our goal. Our goal is not that they know us. Our goal is that they know Jesus. Please hear what I'm saying. It said, I love this text because it says he sent them where he was going to go himself. And so we're there to pave the way for Jesus, to start to make a way in. And that's our commission. That's what he thrust us into if we're true believers. Prepare the way for the one who can do everything. Folks, I want you to forget me this morning, and I want you to remember Jesus' words. I want you to remember what he said. He said, go in to these towns, he said, and bring peace to that town. Speak of salvation. Speak about the forgiveness that comes through the blood of Jesus. Speak about it, he says. If you're rejected, don't worry about it. Let it just move on. Shake the dust off and get on to your next commission. In the church today, we have way too thin a skin, you see. If they reject me, they reject Jesus. And we can't be afraid to tell people about the Lord. I see hurting people everywhere, and they're hurting because they've walked away from Christ. And we need to bring them back, and we need to train them in righteousness, and we need to teach them the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of a holy life so that they can understand and so that they can grasp true life in Christ. I love the text because they come back and they give a report. It's your next point. Report and rejoice. It says they came back and they said, Lord, you know, you could picture these 70 coming back and Jesus saying, hey, how'd it go? And they said, man, the demons flee at your name. Almost like they were surprised, like, hey, you said that would work and it works, Lord. In your name they run. We laid hands on the sick and they were healed. Why? Because Jesus said it would happen. He told them to do it. They went and they obeyed him. It's why wherever I find a person that's sick or that has an ache or a pain, I just take my hand and I put on them and I pray. It's not on me, it's on Christ. I believe he can heal. I've seen it. My own body's healed before. But the enemy have us in this thing where, like, if I pray and if that person doesn't get healed, oh no, I failed. You know what that is? It's selfishness. It's pride, church. Get rid of it. Put your faith in Jesus. Lay hands on the sick. Speak the name above all names. And when they're healed, they're healed. Give God the glory. You see, I didn't say a word about if they're not healed. If they're not healed, just move on. Pray for the next person. You know what will happen? 2 years later, they'll go, you know, I was healed. And I was like, I never even knew. It's best that way sometimes. But these people came back, they rejoiced, and they gave a report. Revelation chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. It's just so awesome, you see. They triumphed over him, over the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He's filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. The best news I have for you this morning, the devil's time is short. And you know what else? Jesus has sent you out with authority in the name above all names to whoop up on him. What are we afraid of? The demons ran when the disciples came out and began to speak Jesus. I got news for you, though. Run today if you'll speak Jesus. I don't whistle whenever I'm afraid. I speak the name of Jesus. We speak the name of Jesus. So report and rejoice. Tell other people, hey, this person accepted Christ. They asked for forgiveness for their sins. They're going to get baptized. Next week's going to be fun, man. We're going to have a baptism. And I never know how many are going to get up there and get baptized, because the day of, they go running back and say, I got to do this. Report and rejoice. Next point, do not allow signs to overshadow salvation. You see what happened? They came back and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject, you see. And Jesus says, don't rejoice in the fact that the demons flee at my name. He says, rejoice in the fact that your names are written in heaven. Please, church, understand this. I grew up in the charismatic movement. People chase signs and wonders. I've seen some of the craziest things in church settings. And what the enemy wants to do is he wants to get you to chase signs and miss the soul. Is everybody listening to me? That's why Jesus says this here. He says, don't rejoice that the demons flee. Rejoice that your name's written in heaven. And I've seen so many people chase after signs, church, and they should not. Acts 8, verses 18 to 24, Simon, the magician, he was in Samaria with Philip. And when Philip began to preach the gospel, miracles began to happen. And then Peter and John came down there, and they laid hands on him, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's so awesome, man. It was a charismatic prayer meeting. I love it. But Simon took off on a tangent. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and he said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter answered, may your money perish with you. You thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. And then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. Church, keep your eyes on the souls of men. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the healings, the words of knowledge, the words of wisdom are given to us so that men can be brought to the kingdom of God. Every gift God gives is to minister. You see, you have the gift to minister to the lost, to portray Jesus so that salvation comes. And if that gift is used for anything else or for any other motive, or if you puff yourself up because I speak in tongues and I got this and I got that, God goes, we got to get out of there. Because they're going to puff themselves up. And so don't allow signs to overshadow salvation. Just speak the name of Jesus. Folks, the signs will come. The power will come because he's given us authority, you see, to speak. Last point this morning, recognize how blessed you are to know Jesus. If we go back to the text, it's so often, he turned to his disciple and says, blessed are your eyes to see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Church, you and I know that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, that he died on the cross, and he rose from the dead, and that if we confess our sins, he'll forgive us. And we are so blessed to know what we know. There are men, women, and children walking around outside these doors today who don't know who Jesus is, and they don't know how they can get rid of the guilt that's in their heart, and they don't know how they can reconcile for what they've done. And you and I have the message to say to them, if you ask Jesus, he'll forgive you. And Jesus says, blessed are your eyes, blessed are your ears to hear, blessed are your eyes to see. He says, prophets and kings longed to see me and to know what you know. Like I said, I got saved in a Roman Catholic charismatic prayer meeting. Man, we spoke in tongues. We laid hands on the sick. We had words of wisdom for people. But you get to the place where you go to see what's going to happen this week. Man, I hope the Holy Spirit does this or he does that. And then one day, I was kneeling at this big marble altar. And I was praying in the spirit, and in the spirit world, it didn't happen to me physically. And I felt like I was on a turntable, and God took me, and he turned me around to face the people, and he said, from now on, you're going to come here, and you're going to not be ministered to, you will minister. I'll never forget how it felt in my entire life. He just took me like I was on a turntable, like I was a railroad car that needed to go the other way. And he turned me around, and he pointed me out towards the people. And he said, now you're going to minister.
Quit coming to see what you can get every week and come and say, Lord, how do you want to use me? Church, you have what it takes. If you listen to the message today, you have enough information to go and talk somebody into giving their soul to Jesus Christ. Father, we come to you today. And Lord, all the preaching and the worship and the fellowship strengthens us. And it prepares us to go out like wonderful sheep among wolves to win the wolves over for Jesus. Father, I pray that you would use us today. That, Lord, before we get home today, we'll run into people and have an opportunity to invite them to come and meet Jesus. We can speak peace to them. And if they accept it, we'll rejoice. And if they reject it, we'll rejoice and go on to the next person in line. But, Father, I pray that you take your word today and that you mobilize your church and that, Father God, you begin to move in Walworth County and the surrounding counties, and that, Lord, there will be revival here in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, because Mount Zion Christian Church heard the words, go and speak the gospel of peace. Lord, guide us, direct us, anoint us, but Lord, give us that authority that we humbly walk out of here in authority. And that we don't grow weary in well-doing. Because my Bible says we're going to reap a harvest if we continue and we persist in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, we want to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, go out there and make disciples. Go out there and speak peace to the world in Jesus' name. Amen.